Gabby, could you just go through the list of everybody who's on now?
Of course. From the CCNSO, we have Martin Boyle, Becky Burr, Henry Chan, Yan Chang, and a colleague from .tw, which I haven't got the name from yet, Keith Davidson, Sokol Haksu, Irohota, Anna Beth Lange, John Lawrence, Yangam Lee, Catherine Reynolds, Grigori Sagian, Ron Sherwood, Martin Seaman, Tanya Ling. From the GNSO, we have Ilya Bazlyanikov and Heather Forrest. And from the at-large, we have Eduardo Diaz and Cheryl Langdon Orr. And let me know if I've missed anyone. From staff, we have Marika Konings and myself, Gabriela Shadik.
Okay, good. I'm just trying to, has everybody received the charter for this group?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
The charter should also be online on our website. If you go to our website on the left bar, there's working groups, click on the study group, and the charter will be online.
Okay. So our biggest job, essentially, is to gather material about the ways in which territory names are used so that we can, so that we can determine how to be useful in terms of determining whether there's a need for a policy, and determining whether there is what the ways in which country names are used. I didn't really get Bart's email, so I'm a little unprepared. I need 2 seconds. If you want to just go through the charter, can you do that? Gabby?
Yes, sorry. Was I supposed to go through the charter? I'm sorry.
This is Ron. May I just ask a question of Becky?
Yeah.
Becky, you said you did not get Bart's email. Are you talking about the email that he sent with an agenda overnight?
Yeah.
Can someone forward that to you? Because, that's the format for the meeting, I would think.
Yes, exactly right. And that's why I'm struggling here.
I arrived here in Norway until an hour ago, so it's a very short time to read it through, actually.
Okay, here, I've got it. Sorry.
So, Becky, I'm not sure what you want.
No, I've received it. Okay.
It's not really a charter, it's just purpose and scope of activity, but it's on our website. I'm not sure what
right.
you'd like me to do.
Okay,
with that.
Never mind. I'm sorry. I got the agenda. I got Bart's email just a few minutes ago. Okay. So the everybody received the policy, the overview policy related to the use of country and territory names. That's what Bart sent out. I just want to make sure everybody received it.
Yes.
Okay. So we have to, our first order of business is to nominate a chair. I think that we we were hoping that one of the CCNSO members would be interested in serving in that role. Do we have any interested chairs? No volunteers. We'll have to go through. Maybe by the end of the call, we'll have some help listed, or some volunteers here. Okay. So as I was saying, the goal of this the working group is to review the initial overview of policies and methods that are related to use of country and territory names as PLDs. And there, of course, the two-letter code, ASCII CC PLDs, taken essentially from the ISO 3166-1 list, although we know that there are some exceptions for names that are on the 3166-2 list. Some of them, actually most of them historical. And the reference documents for that are RFC 1591, and as restated in ISP-1, and then the GAC principles on delegation and redelegation of CCPLDs. The CCNSO, along with some observers from the GAC, have recently gone through those documents. But if there's anybody who thinks that there needs to be another reference document on the list for the CCPLDs, for the ASCII CCPLDs, you should speak up. I mean, part of our job is actually to confirm that we've got all of the policies listed. And then with respect to IDN CCTLDs, where we are now is that the name of a country or territory has to be listed on 3166-1. And then to be a TLD string in the IDN context, it would be a meaningful representation of the name of a country or territory on that list. And there's a description in the policy document about the, you know, what a meaningful representation is for purposes of the fast track, which is that it's the name of the territory or a part of the name of the territory that denotes the territory or a short form designation of the territory. In for purposes of the fast track, an official language of the territory here. Then we have the rest of the discussion here about the requirements relating to the script, being that it's any script that doesn't contain 26 letters. And for purposes of the fast track, there are the reference documents are the working group final board report and the final implementation plan. So the question then under the new GTLD process is during the first round, and based on the latest applicant guidebook, there are no considerations. There will strings that are country or territory names will not be approved under the new GTLD program in the first round. And I think our job here is to help inform whether or, if so, how they might be approved in other names. So it's names on the ISO 3166-1 in that three-digit code, the long standard or translation of the short form in any language, anything on the exceptionally reserved list, and a name of a country as commonly known as demonstrated by evidence that the country is recognized by that name in an intergovernmental or treaty organization. So that's sort of more official name. Then in terms of policy being developed, there is work in the sort of in the overall IDN CCTLD policy in overall. And then with respect to, then there are some policies relating to contention for purposes of the fast track for disputes about it. So those, that's the listing of the policies, the sort of the initial list of policies. And so one question is this list current and complete? Is it, are they all there? And so that's a critical part of our task, is to ensure that we really do have a comprehensive list of the current, of the policies, current and future policies. Whether we've got a full list of all of the relevant rules to deal with conflict, such as a confusingly similar, and then what level of detail do we need in order to describe a meaningful overview. And so this, that, the summary that we've got here is skeletal, and the question is, in order to be useful and helpful, how much implementation detail do we need to fill in with respect to the summary that's there? Our goal for this, before Singapore, is actually to take this summary that Bart has provided and to fill it out, fill it out to the extent that we think it needs to be filled out to be meaningful and helpful, and then to meet face to face in Singapore for the initial meeting. So I guess the first question is, whether it's going to be, what day it's going to be possible for us to meet in Singapore face-to-face. Gabby, have you and Bart talked about a date that is workable? I mean, it seems to me that Sunday might be the good day.
We have already set a time and date, and it's on Thursday, 23rd of June, between 12 and 1.
Okay, great.
Becky?
Yes.
Becky, I'm wondering, I mean, I think it's good that you kind of outlined what we're supposed to do, but if you look at the scope of activities of this study group, I mean, we basically have to do a study on how the country and territory names are being used, both in ASCII and IDN. And so I think we today what we would need to do is maybe develop a, as you said, a date or a study plan. And while we're doing that, it would be good if we could elect a chair.
Yeah.
And as for that, since nobody's volunteering, can we volunteer someone? Can other people volunteer? Others? To be chair, can we nominate chairs?
Certainly, although probably if nobody's, if we don't have a volunteer, we may want to just chat among the CC members and see if we can get a volunteer.
Okay.
I mean, unless you would like to volunteer, it would be great.
No, actually, I'm thinking of Annabeth because she's the one that actually started the discussion on the use of names for countries and territories within the CCN.
Yes, Annabeth, I think, is dedicated to working hard on this, but for a variety of reasons isn't able to chair. Am I correct on that one, Annabeth?
Oh.
issues on the table here that prevents me actually. I'm prepared to do a lot of work, but it's impossible to do so.
Could everybody hear Annabeth? You're very
Annabeth, it's very hard to hear you. I'm not sure if you're I'm not sure what kind of phone you're on, but it's very hard to hear you. We will try to do our best here with the operator, but...
Can I try once more?
This is much better.
It's much better, okay.
Yeah.
I had to tell Chris and Becky closely after the San Francisco meeting that I couldn't do it, so they actually knew already of several reasons. I'm sorry for that, but I will attend the meetings, of course, and do the work, but it's impossible for me. I'm sorry to say that.
Okay.
So I think that what we should probably do is just take that back. But Youngham, you're correct that the in addition to the policies, the goal is to understand how country names are being used right now, both CCPLDs and you know, just both ASCII and IBM.
It's Annabeth again here. While this question was raised in the first place, was that we discovered that as the system is today, some country and territory names will fall between the chairs, because it will not be some of country and territory names will be in the GTLD as it is today, if it would have been accepted, and that will mainly be the one in the Latin letters, and then some of them could be accepted in the IDN process, and that will mean that for example, Norway would be in one part of the rules, and Norwegian would be in the other, and that they will follow different rules and different programs. And that will be very, very confusing for the users, first and foremost. So that's what we have to look at.
So the notion is to look at the ways in which they're being used as IDNs and the ways in which they're being used in the ASCII, and whether they're the same or different. Could you talk a little bit about why you think it will be confusing if they're being used in different ways?
Well, what the thoughts were was that if it's more like a CCPLD, the sovereignty program and the subsidiarity principle will apply in a larger degree. And if it's a pure GTLD, it will follow the ICANN rules, ICANN registrars, everything will be global more than local. And it's quite difficult, perhaps, to understand that if, for example, .nor for Norway would be a GTLD, but .no would be a CCPLD. And as it is today, two different sets of rules apply. So we also have to discuss, in my view, that do we really want country and territory names in extension to be applied at all? Or is it enough with CCPLDs for the countries and that the rest of the geographical names will be in the GTLD space? Except for the IDNs, of course, because they get there through the IDN process.
I'm sorry, except for the CCTLD IDN.
Yeah.
Okay. But they're not part of the GTLD.
No, that's the point.
Yeah.
They are not. And then if after the first application round it is open and we don't find a solution for other country and territory names, more in extension, then they might go into the GTLD process as it is today, probably with the same rules as it is for the capitals and cities having an approval from the government or public authority, but they will follow the GTLD rules. And then .nor for Norway will be a GTLD, and .no will be a CCTLD,
following different sets of rules.
Right, and the rules, to the extent that they're different, are largely the question of whether they're bound by ICANN GNSO policy.
Or is it a subsidiarity principle that applies, like in the GAC principle?
Well, that, then we would have to develop a new set of rules, presumably, from the for the operation. Right.
It might be, or have it like one of the options from BOSS was also to have a reserve list and then don't use them at all. Do we need them?
Right. So the options are: don't use them at all. Use them with the in the same way with the approval and support of the government.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me?
Or find another special rule for the country and territory and in the middle. It has been discussed also to have a different group, like a new category.
Right. Do we have anybody, are our GAC participants on the call?
Someone on the list.
Can I ask?
Yeah.
Grigory Sagan, Armenia.
Yes, Gregory.
Yes. So I really don't understand. You suggest to have two different types of domain names. One is country names. For these domain names, you suggest to have a separate various procedure. And is this procedure will be similar for will look similar like GTLD for town names, city names?
Well, I don't think I'm suggesting it. I think what we're talking about is what the possibilities are. So one possibility would be to have no additional country or territory names. Other than in connection with CCNSOs. So, for example, the IDN CCNSOs associated with, or IDN CCTLDs associated with the ASCII TLDs, right, ASCII CCTLDs right now. So that's one policy choice. A second policy choice would be to have them allocated in some other way as additional, not necessarily in association with existing CCTLDs, but through the new GTLD process in the way that names of capitals then are being allocated. So with the approval of the relevant government, with the approval and support of the relevant government, or some third set of rules. And that really is the question. That's the ultimate question. I don't think it's the question that we are supposed to be answering. What we're supposed to be putting together and answering is a understanding the ways in which they are being used, country and territory names are being used right now. So, for example, we have the set of CCTLDs in ASCII and the associated IDNs. Some of them are being operated, with a kind of license from the government. Others are being operated independent of the government. There are, not independent of, because clearly subject to the rules of the government. But I think that Gregor, the question is not that anybody is proposing anything right now, just identifying what the potential problem is.
Okay, in that case, can I say it? Grigory Sagan.
Yes.
Okay. So in that case, I think we have two separate questions. First, who is CCTLD is under control of each government? It works according to local legislation of this country, if it is CCCLD.
Yes.
And if it is GTLD, it's not under control of government. It's independent. It's under control of ICANN. Okay, let us say. Okay. You mean this difference?
Well, I don't think, I mean, right now the new GTLDs are subject to, you know, obligated to follow ICANN adopted consensus policy, for example. That is not the case with CCTLDs. You know, and when you say they're under the control of the government, I think it means they're subject to the, you know, they're in the territory and jurisdiction of the government and subject to the various laws of the
local country
or territory.
Yes.
But obviously, in terms of the relationship between the CCTLD operator and the government, there are many different varieties of relationships right now.
And also, it's Keith here, and also, Vicky, worth noting, there's 246 CCTLDs and I think 193 governments recognized by the United Nations. So there's a number of CCTLDs that don't have governments.
Yeah, but they are connected to the country in a much larger degree under the local community in the country, and they decide in a large degree how it should be run. Some countries have very close relationships to the government, others have not, but it's the local local community that decides it more than ICANN, as it is today.
And
yes,
then there are some examples where there is no local community, for example, like Antarctica, where there's no community and no government, and it's a disputed territory, but it does have a CCTLD. So there's odd rules everywhere, is really what the observation I was trying to make.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Martin Boyle here. I agree with Keith that there are a number which I would describe as being legacy situations. But I think the real difference between the CCTLD and the GTLD goes back to RFC 1591. Which then does explain that the CCTLD is designed to serve the local internet community of the country for which the code is there. And that, I think, then starts to apply in the same way for IDN CCTLDs, because, again, that's exactly what they do. This is where I think Annabeth's drawing a distinction between the CCTLDs and the GTLDs when there is a country name at stake is correct, because it does start causing confusion. The CCTLD will have developed its policies locally in general and will be subject to national law in general. And it then becomes very difficult for somebody who gets, Nordskabank.no and Nordskabank.nor to know, has it been established in the jurisdiction? If it's a cyber squatting under .nor, that you end up having to go out of country to contest. And that, I think, is the sort of underlying root concern for, you know, why it is actually quite important for the country names to be considered rather carefully, and that we don't just end up with a scattering of country names appearing where the government of the country concerned does not so wish.
Right, and... Oh, go ahead.
No, sorry. This is Heather Forrest. I was just going to ask a follow-up question, which is, are the The modern impacts of RFC 1591, are they somewhat diluted by vanity CCTLDs like Tuvalu.tv and Moldova.md? I don't think we're in a situation that we were at 1591, where there was a clear user distinction between CC and G.
I think the issue
This is Young'un. That's an area where people using .kr would very strongly disagree with. People using .kr would very strongly disagree with, because there is a different user base of .kr versus .com.
Yeah, and even if there are different models, and some are really commercial, and it's the more of a local favor anyway. It's not decided completely of the policy of ICANN, so that's the difference still.
I certainly see that there's a different policy structure, and indeed a different legislative structure that applies. But in terms of confusion, let's say, if confusion is our aim and preventing confusion, I wonder, please don't misunderstand, I'm not arguing one way or the other, I'm simply tossing it out as an idea.
It's Martin Boyle here again. I think the .tv case, yes, it's an interesting one, but it is actually a very unusual case. You can count on the fingers of one hand the number that are, shall we say, vaguely successfully selling a country code top-level domain registration to really as a GTLD. But at the end of the day, the discussion has to go down to something like Tuvalu. Is Tuvalu willing to allow somebody else to use its top-level domain for a different issue? It's the sovereign decision of the country concerned. Unfortunately, two letters can sometimes mean something significant, and people are then inclined to exploit that option. But I think very, very quickly, if we sort of try and follow that, we end up with trying to write a set of rules that are influenced by a particular behavior and a particularly rare behavior in a very, very limited number of countries. And therefore, you know, I actually think it's not actually a useful thing to start discussing.
Right. I think that really the distinction comes back, Martin, to the distinction you made, not the ways in which, I mean, there are clearly a variety of ways in which CCTLDs are being used right now. The question really comes back to the sort of who is the CCT, who is the registry answerable to? Is it, you know, serving the interests of the local internet community? And that can be served in a variety of different ways. So that's really the issue, is not, you know, what it looks like, what kinds of registrations, how it's used, but really what is the fundamental focus of who you're answering to and serving.
This is Ron Sherwood, .pi. Can I make a point here, Becky? There are lots of variables involved, and they tend to overlap and make this a very confusing and therefore a very difficult subject. In its simplest form, if you compare GTLDs with CCTLDs, the question is, does the government of the appropriate CC have the right to prevent GTLD being formed with the name of its nation or its country. And if there can be a simple rule that relates to that, it really does make everything else a lot easier to deal with. But there is also a complication there. Where is the name, for example, of the company? IN.VI, US Virgin Islands, but there's also British Virgin Islands. And if there is a GTLD application for Virgin Islands, for example, or for Samoa, for example, would American Samoa and Samoa both be able to prevent that from happening? And we're really talking about exclusion here rather than adoption. And would the British Virgin Islands, as well as the US Virgin Islands, have the right to prevent the use of the term Virgin Islands?
This is Adam here. I think Ron is making a very valid statement, and that's exactly why we needed to conduct a study on how these country names are being used. So we need, I mean, we've been hearing these examples, but we need to have a relatively complete set of data as to how these country names are being used.
So, I mean, one way of gathering the data would be presumably to create some kind of survey instrument and collect data from the operators of of CCTLDs right now. I mean, country and territory names are not being used in other contexts at the moment, other than as CCTLDs.
Right. Nikki?
Yes.
I think that's where we could start. But I don't think the survey would give us a complete answer. I think we would need to come up with some additional mechanisms to supplement the incompleteness of the survey.
And the incompleteness would be because we need because we're not necessarily going to get all of the information, or because we need sort of an objective look at it.
Actually, both.
Okay.
Because of both, right. Because if we just conduct a survey, each country would have their own version of how the name should be used or how the name is being used.
Yeah.
And so then the question is, how do we do the, you know, how do we set up the, how do we organize the review of whatever, you know, we get, and then supplementing it basically, should it be geographic area, region-wide, or should we just set up a group, several sub-working groups, and say, you know, we have a subset of members of this working group who are going to look at survey responses as they come in, and then supplement them working together.
Yes, I think that's
a really
good start.
This is Ron Sherwood again. If we were to take an existing list, and there are many, there's the UN lists, but if a subgroup, as you call it, were to look at the existing lists of nations, countries, territories, and that list would then to be obviously in ASCII characters in order to start, and we could look at, or the subgroup could look at, the possible complications involved and pull each of the CCs involved, because there is a CC for each one, and from that come up with a list of a finite geographical or territorial names, or and territorial name, with possible complications that have been developed to that point, presumably with the assistance, wherever possible, of the CC. Would that not be a good starting point?
So that's an addition. It seems to me that's an additional task, because one of the questions is how are country and territory names being used right now, and then the other is, you know, sort of what are the possible authoritative sources of lists of those names.
Maybe I have a proposal.
Yes.
Grigoris again. Okay. Maybe it would be better to do from to come to the problem from the other side. If it was separated, all CCTLDs, and as an incumbent, let us say incumbent, that it's something which is well known by everybody. And this is something very stable, and everybody knows that it's a country code. There is no anybody needs additional description that it is country code, or everybody knows it, knows that it is country code. And the other names, they are automatically, they are not country codes. And for them, it's possible to use any type of rules. So we let us start from understanding which is CCTLD. And other, because if we will start to discuss with other territories, it will take a lot of time, and we will not have enough information about local conflicts, you know, a lot of things which to resolve it, it's necessary to have a very large group. So my proposal is to separated CCTLDs, and they will have their own rules how to register them.
Yes, Cheryl.
Thanks. It's one of those calls with a number of people wanting to put comments forward that we really could do within a Dobe room to have a speaker list organised. I'm just looking at some of what's been said to the last few speakers, and I think there might be an opportunity for this work group to pick up on what you were to earlier, Becky, and that is the use of sub-teams or work teams within the larger work group. I would suggest to us that we consider the original purpose and scope of the work group documentation, which splits the purpose of the study group into three particularly well-defined areas. And I'm wondering if putting a plan of action between now and our face-to-face in Singapore, where we would have opportunity to review where we're going and how we're heading, in a perhaps more manageable way than a teleconference with a large group of people, whether we could self-organise by a call to the list of all members of the work group into at least three of those sub-teams to meet each of the three primary proposed purposes of the study group, and then just get some of the groundwork done, which I believe, listening to what people have said so far, would be pretty well encapsulated by those three particular purposes, but we may need to have a catch-all space on the wiki where additional issues are captured so that we don't lose those in these early stages of the work group's activities.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very good idea. I think that the discussion is, it's useful to have the initial discussion, but in order to get the work done, we are going to need to have some sub-teams. Do we have a... I also agree that an Adobe room
Hello?
Would be very useful. Yes? Yes, did somebody have a comment?
Yeah, this is George. Please, can you come back?
George? So should we perhaps send out a call for volunteers for each of the subgroups, and then have a some basic ground rules for how those groups are going to work, and then with the goal for Singapore to have those groups formed and have their kind of basic work plan set out.
Becky?
Yeah.
I think that would be a good idea, but it would be more efficient if we could have people that are online right now volunteer to organize the subgroups, or if we could have a couple of people who would volunteer to organize that. I think it would be more efficient.
Yes, I think that's a good idea. Is anybody interested in...
This is Aubrey. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
And perhaps I wasn't paying good enough attention, but what are exactly the three subgroups that we're organizing?
Cheryl, do you have the paper in front of you?
I do, Becky, if you'd like me to read them briefly for the record. From the purpose and scope of activities, the three study group purposes as outlined in that documentation for the work group are as follows. One, an overview of current and proposed policies, guidelines and procedures for allocation and delegation of strings currently used or proposed to be used as TLDs that are either associated with countries and territories, i.e. by inclusion of the ISO 3166-1 list, and or are otherwise considered representations of the names of countries and territories. The second purpose, number two, a comprehensive overview of types of categories of strings currently used or proposed to be used as TLDs that are either associated with countries and territories, i.e. by inclusion on the ISO 3166-1 list, and or are otherwise considered representations of countries and territory names. And the third, number three, a comprehensive overview of issues arising or likely to arise in connection with applying the current and proposed policies, guidelines and procedures for allocation to types and categories of strings currently used or proposed to be used as TLDs that are either associated with countries and territories, i.e. by inclusion in the ISO 3166-1 list, and or are otherwise considered representations of countries and territories. And then the catch-all phrase after that is, if considered appropriate by the study group will advise on a course of further actions, if any, to resolve issues identified under the third comprehensive overview piece of work. Over to you, Beth.
Okay,
thank
you.
Can
I ask another question then?
Yes, absolutely.
I had kind of thought, and I didn't have it in front of me, so I very much appreciate you reading it, that in some sense there was some sequential nature to these questions, and hearing you read them again, it strikes me that first we're looking at current uses, then we're looking at categories within those current uses, and then we're looking at policy issues as applied to those categories, et cetera. So I'm not quite sure I understand how three separate groups work.
So let me, I think that the first, I mean, we have the overview of policies, and that really is, Barton and Gabby and Christina, I don't know who did it, have sort of set out that, and so one task is looking at that to make sure it's complete. But I agree that for a significant amount of the second and third group, it would be useful to have the data, a sort of collection of data first, which would be the questionnaire survey results about how is this country name right now being used. I mean, it's being used as a CCTLD, but within that there's an enormous variety of and range and different ways. So that, it seems to me that data right now is something that we need in order to understand perhaps the list of the issues and conflicts that could come up with it. So I guess I still come back to the need for just an initial data collection exercise. So it would be data collection and then supplementation, as Youngham suggested, by subgroups. So I guess what I was thinking, and maybe this is not a good way to go about it, but thinking that that a first task is developing the kind of the survey questions, and then dividing people on the working group into teams to collect the information, and then to look at that and add more based on observations. Cheryl, do you think that there's a way of short-circuiting the data collection piece of this?
Well, I'm not short-circuiting it. We just got to get in there and somehow get it done. Again, this is one of those areas where a couple of people need to put up their hand and work probably with staff on creating an appropriate survey, which most importantly is effective, and by effective I mean not so large and onerous that people won't respond to it, because
exactly.
It's a voluntary survey.
Right.
It's all very, very nice for us to have a rush of blood to the head and want to have a whole lot of information, but some of this is probably going to be survey-based, and other parts of the data collection might just be good old hard research yakka,
right.
Because it's going to have to be done. And I think there's an opportunity for that to be done via sub-team between, or at least beginning to be done, between now and the Singapore face-to-face, and perhaps some preliminary results coming back in. I wondered whether a couple of people on the call who may or may not have experience, John Lawrence, you're there from .au, I'm wondering if you and a couple of others, the CCNSO members, might want to sort of perhaps take the lead on that. Quite sure AUDA would be happy to assist, she says, switching her hat briefly.
on which topic? Sorry, Cheryl.
The data mining, mate. The data research and whacking a survey together.
Yeah, it's really...
Keith, I'd be putting the hard foot on you and Martin as well, I would have thought, Becky.
That doesn't sound too onerous to me.
Martin, Keith?
Yeah,
the
yeah,
sort
yeah.
of things you guys do all the time? Come on,
yep.
Put your hands up.
No, our that's easy for us.
There you go, Becky.
Okay. So I do think that that is the first thing, is to develop a survey, and then the second thing that I'd like to discuss is, once we get the survey, it seems like...
I've been dropped, or has Becky dropped?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you both.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm just yakking on. Maybe Cheryl muted me. But then the question is how we organize the subgroup to collect the data. But and that one, it seems to me, is there's some questions about whether we want to do it regionally or whether we want to have teams that are sort of come from a several different perspectives looking at it, because it maybe if we're looking at how things work in our own regions, it will miss some of the a little bit of objectivity about what's interesting and different about the ways in which they're working. But I take it that we have Keith and Martin and who else volunteered? .au?
Yeah, John Lawrence from AU.
John, okay.
Yep.
And any, it seems like perhaps we should look for a non-English speaking participant in the survey development team.
This is Henry from Hong Kong.
Great.
This is Henry from Hong Kong. I would like to join.
Excellent. Thank you, Henry. Anybody else?
Yeah, he's good. I would like to join the team.
I'm sorry, who was that?
George.
Okay, great, George.
I'm sorry, I will prefer to have a hint with the subcommittee to assist in the evaluation.
Okay, Gabby, are you keeping track of the volunteers here?
Hi, Cheryl. This is Christina. I just switched with Gabby because she needed to go on another call, so I'm not quite following what's going on. I'm sorry.
Okay, so we're collecting volunteers for a working group to create a survey document to gather information about the ways in which country and territory names are used right now.
Okay.
And we have Keith, Martin. Martin, are you there?
I think Martin may have dropped as well. He had another call as well.
Okay.
Actually, I need to be going, but Becky.
Yes.
Can I also join and I need to drop off because I need to join the other call.
Okay, thanks. Well, I think we should probably wrap this up, but I think that what we'll do is set up a call with the subgroup just to kick that process off, and then I will work with Gavestina, is that what you called them, Keith?
That's the one.
On some of the other mechanical issues that getting us organized. Other thoughts or comments?
By the way, this is Eduardo Diaz from the non-speaking English part. I can volunteer to participate in that work group too.
Okay, I'm sorry. Say your name again?
Eduardo.
Oh, Eduardo. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Vicky?
Yes?
It's Annabeth. Could I suggest that you send this out, or Gabby send this suggestion out on online, and then anyone else might be able to join as well?
Yes. We'll send out a call for volunteers. Okay.
Becky, it's Catherine Reynolds from .ca here, and I'm happy to volunteer in any capacity, whether it be for this subgroup or another, but I'd rather ask you to tell me what you'd rather I do. I don't know if this group now has enough members or if you'd rather reserve a few some hands for the other subgroup.
Yes, I think we may have enough. I want to just make sure that we have some geographic and linguistic diversity. So, Catherine,
yeah.
I might reserve you for another task.
Absolutely. That's fine.
Okay.
We'll definitely
do that. So I think what we'll do is send this around and try to get that work started and organized so that we can have some solid, have a good start in our face-to-face meeting in Singapore. I apologize for the sort of disorganization of this. I missed Bart's request for me to share this, so. We will have smoother meetings in the future.
Thank you, Senator. Fine.
We should have one from the GAC on this working group. So do you want me to try to find that?
Well, I think that our GAC members are Frank March and Bill D. Is that correct, Christina?
I can't find anything on the list on the web.
No, I think that we have, that the GAC members have been assigned, so I will reach out to the GAC members to see if one of them will volunteer to participate in this.
Okay, fine.
Okay? All right. Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, sorry, Matt. Bye.